Ladies and gentlemen, it is wild in here. It is wild, and it is the most high show. I'm your host, Christian. We got Leslie doing quality control.
Leslie.
My man Chad, who shared a story last week, is on the ones and twos.
Yes, sir.
Love that dude.
My man David Cleope is in the building.
Not the chef.
And sitting in the decadent seat of service is my man Jeff Vickers.
We have the loudmouth himself.
That's right. We have an in-studio audience hanging out. David made food.
Yep.
We brought pizza also. There's plenty of food.
Where y'all at? We need a bigger studio audience. That's where we get the stuff, right? We got pizzas.
Well, I think
we got
1,700 people is enough.
What's the
David?
Deal? You're right.
Yeah.
1,700.
So, ladies,
we maxed out at 1,700.
Can I get it out the way?
What?
May I please? I just want to say thank you and I love you so much because I was, you know, on social media. And I definitely, asked to eat some of this deliciousness.
Yeah, he called me out.
I'm always seeing. Yeah. And I must admit, the man came through. How you feel about that basil, though? That basil was good, right?
We got
from
a
his home
chef in the building.
Garden. Okay, yes, so we just got a thumbs up from a master chef on the basil from your home garden.
Thank
we
you,
love
sir.
It.
I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a round of applause for the most high show.
Yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
So, Jeff is a nationally designated recovery coach, professional RCP. That's different than PCP. And highly dedicated recovery advocate. What I love about this is it sounds dope, but it's also accurate. With extensive experience, Jeff is also an accomplished author of a book on recovery slogans and serves as a mental health and reentry facilitator. Passionate about making a positive impact, Jeff is committed to supporting individuals and communities through addiction recovery, mental health advocacy, and motivational writing.
I'm going to tell you right now, somebody that loves you must have written that profile, because that's a damn good profile.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
It's good.
Yeah, that's nice. That's
good.
That's
what
a good workout.
What I need
workout.
To say about that bio is I want that bio to run forever.
Yeah,
I don't.
It should.
That's the template.
That's nice.
I don't need to change none of that.
That was well done.
You know, give me good 2 decades. Just that bio.
Yeah, there's a lot to do in just this.
Yeah, just that.
Just right that.
Yeah. There's a lot of love that can definitely come out of those positions.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what, it says a lot to your mission, like how you're living right now and the things that you're doing is pretty heavy, bro. It's pretty impressive for real. Straight up.
Yeah. I appreciate you.
All right, let's start off with a question.
Okay. All right. Let's
go. Let's get it.
What do you guys think about this quote?
All right.
You have the moral obligation to not get in the way of someone suffering. Mm-hmm. Ram Dass. What's your honest thoughts on that quote?
You have the moral obligation to not get in the way of someone's suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That speaks to me. There's so many different ways that you can approach that, right? You know, the first thing that jumped out for me was codependency.
Mm-hmm.
It's the very first thing.
I believe you're on the right track. I think Ram Dass would give you nods up on that. Yep.
He's a cool dude, so I'd get cool points, you know, for sure. Right. But along the lines of that, wow.
Come on.
Hey, man, it's your
Come
thing,
on.
Bro. You got it.
Come on. It's a tough place. Yeah, it's a tough one because, you know, I think like part of what we do as just humans and the way we exist on Earth now at this point in our life, it's about, our life is about alleviating people's suffering, right?
Right. So it's a really cool kind of like play on words. You have the moral obligation, right, to let somebody not get in the way of somebody's sufferings. So I don't know if the right terminology is like humanistically, I don't want you to suffer. You're my boy. I don't want you to freaking suffer. If I can stop that in any way, I want to be there for you and try to prevent it. But especially in the world of recovery, you cannot deny that somebody's journey is their journey. And if you stop and you buffer what somebody's going through, they're missing something.
They could potentially miss something.
They will miss something.
They definitely will miss something. It's so interesting because I needed to allow myself an opportunity to process while both of y'all were, you know, speaking, right? Getting back to the codependence part, why that jumped out to me, man. When you go through your personal fire and receive a level of freedom, and you're able to look back on earlier versions of yourself, you're able to be very grateful for the suffering that you had to go through in each stage.
Tell it.
To get to the next one. You know, so imagine anything being different, everything will be different, right? So if I allowed you to interrupt the natural path that has been designated for me, I'm not going to be who I'm organically supposed to be. Yeah. Allow me the opportunity to suffer so that I can be purged from that pain.
That's a great
so
answer.
So then, but where does...
There's like a line, right? You would think there's like a line. Like, where does that meet? Like, where does like, that cross? Like, where's the cross section of
like
that?
I hear a little bit of steps in this, right?
Yeah.
Like, the steps is like, you know, rarely have we seen a person fail who hasn't given themselves completely to this way of life. Mm-hmm. Or the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop, right? Like, so it's basically like you have to own your own
journey.
Chair. Yeah.
Chair. Yeah. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to own that part. And when you're ready, we're here.
Right.
That's kind of like old school 12-step kind of used to be more like.
Yeah.
Well, you think about it, right? Yeah, you think about that structure. Okay. So, of course. Okay. So there is a lot to saying we have the moral obligation not to stand in the way of somebody's suffering, right? Okay. But when you have somebody that has a plan, right? Okay. That is like stepping up to the plate and in his journey, he's starting to do this structure to try to change his life, all right? So that's all set up. There's a setup there and there's a structure within there to where I am going to be, if I'm your sponsor or if I'm in your network, right? You have an obligation to put up the preventative measures that, like, you know, will send you back out there because of suffering. Does that make sense? So, like, totally. I'm your sponsor. Okay, so now you're in a system. So now in that system, when you're talking to me and you're letting me know what's going on with you on a daily basis, if you're checking in with me, okay, we have a conversation about what's going on with you. Okay, so now we're putting up some preventative maintenance there. It's not, I don't think the quote is to like send you out and like to let you walk blindly, and if you don't, you know, look both ways, you get hit by a car necessarily, right? And now you have to learn, you know, we talked about that a little bit earlier, right? Yeah. But there is, if you proactively put yourself in situations to live a better life or to live a different type of life under, like, in a network, then there's automatically some, you know, bumpers where they need to be. Yeah, you know what I mean? There's some things.
It's intrinsic within that.
Yeah, you dig what I mean? So now, you know, it's like your life's plan is going that way. Now I'm not walking aimlessly. Now I'm walking with a plan. Mm-hmm. Now I have a sponsor, I have a network of people. And if you do it that way, you know, there's probably a lot less suffering. Or when you do suffer, when you do make a mistake or you do have a problem and you're going through something, there's a whole system set up to deal with you and your issues. Mm-hmm. And there's a process that you go through to handle it.
I think it's also the codependency thing. Like, we make suggestions, right? In 12-step fellowships, it's, you know, we can suggest
Yeah.
Or perhaps probably the most profound is when someone goes, well, this is what I did.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
I get a lot out of that.
What I've learned is,
yeah.
I forgot where I learned that term right there, but something along that, you know, something along that line right there, like, well, this is what I've learned based on my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works. It's powerful.
Yeah. Because the codependent thing, it's really hard. Like, I have a sponsor now who's really going through it. Mm. And it's kind of his own making. But I think in the past, I would have been very attached to his well-being. My personal worth or my sense of value would be attached.
I don't have that in me.
You don't? Really?
I don't.
Yeah.
And some people judge me for that. Like, I've...
Yeah. Well, I think I'm used
sure
to. I used
before,
to,
but
right?
I've never had a sponsor.
Yeah.
Right? And I've
well,
never
that's probably
been
why.
A sponsor. And
that's probably
I
why.
Still choose not to be a sponsor. I could be a big brother. I could be a mentor, you know, and hey, I am a nationally designated coach now, right? Yeah. But it's just certain aspects of that dynamic that my personality doesn't suit that. Not the other way around. You understand what I'm saying? It's not it. That doesn't suit my person. No, my personality doesn't suit certain aspects of the dynamic between sponsor and sponsee. And I've realized about myself, so there's no need for me to do that.
When I
believe that I serve better in other capacities.
Right. I think using sponsor, sponsees like as an example of a relationship. You could interchange mentee, mentor,
right?
You know, helper, or you know, someone who's like a co-journeyer, right? Mm. You could interchange kind of different words in that. Mm-hmm. But I think the codependency aspect applies no matter what title you put on it.
Yeah. Right.
You could still become very tied to your own sense of worth can be tied to, am I being effective? Mm-hmm. And I think that's some of what, because this comes out of his book called How Can I Help?
See, this is what about that. Go ahead. Let me shut up.
Well, this comes out of his book, How Can I Help? Which is, the whole book is about people like us and ministers and people who are in service positions of helping people, right? And one of Ram Dass's big ministries was sitting with dying patients who were suffering from AIDS. And this is back in the 80s when all the medicines that could keep you, prolong your life wasn't around. Mm-hmm. And so part of his thing was sitting with people dying. And so he wrote this book, How Can I Help, to as insight. And so part of my interfaith training was we had to read this book, you know? So that's where that quote comes from. And it's in the role of the helper.
Right.
How can I help?
And what is help?
Right.
Right, right. If you think of help, I'm helping. Of course, I'm not gonna suffer with me. I'm here to help you.
Right.
But it's not. That's why it's such a great play on words. And the helping is sometimes stepping back and letting the experience take care of itself, and then being there for the person on the other side of it.
May I? I am at the observation phase, right? Like, what I mean by that is this: I believe that as long as I am able to convey what I believe are possible solutions to what you have claimed to be an issue, because it's not my business to claim what your issue is. It's yours, right? So after you say, hey, you know, came to the realization, you know what I mean? This thing killing me right here. You know, I can come up with some possible strategies on how we can move the needle, you know, from issue to solution. But here's the deal. What I learned about myself, and I think we all go through this, whether we're in recovery or not, we put forth certain patterns for ourselves. And a lot of times it's just so difficult to get out of that pattern to start an opposing pattern, if you
change.
Will. Change. It's a big thing, right? So in both of those situations, and literally I spoke to the young lady yesterday. I walked up to her car and I said, you know what? I think I have a solution to help you break your pattern. I said, but I'm still doing some observation based on the word that you said, hinged, you know, this thought that I have currently, right? So I believe that it should get to a certain point for us as helpers to step back and objectively observe as much as possible. You know what I mean? Because for me, it's not necessarily about a particular instance. It's more so about the pattern and what message exists in the pattern that I need to observe about myself.
Yeah,
I just think there's a reflection in every situation that I need to observe about myself. That's and it's good. Difficult to convey all of those concepts to newcomers. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, let me observe a pattern. Let me show you what I believe the issue to be, you know, the starting point and the ending point, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let's see what we can do. But I'm really big on stepping back and getting out the way after we decide a course of action.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying, because to me, what I'm hearing is like not getting caught up in the details, right? Someone's calling you and they're bitching about, you know, you ever go pour cereal and then open the fridge and ain't no milk? That's pretty dramatic.
It's old school, baby. I love it.
Oh, man. That's me, and I always eat cereal at midnight. That's my thing.
Late night cereal.
Oh, man. And you open that door, and it's midnight. You ain't going to the store.
Nah, we ain't doing that.
Bro, I need to call somebody.
In there before you water it down, though?
I've never done water.
What?
Never done water.
I've never watered cereal.
Man, you going to talk about our friendship. You never watered milk, though?
Nah. Watered milk?
Watered milk?
Oh,
okay.
Now, that's wait a minute. Okay, now I know what you did. Yeah,
I thought you were talking about water in the cereal.
Nah.
Well, you're like loosening it, making the milk last, adding to it.
Yeah, okay, we good?
Right.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it.
So,
say, Mama.
You're going to get down to 2% in a minute, right? You keep pouring that water in there. You're going to be skim milk.
You got skimmed?
I drank that for many years, my brother.
Oh, dude.
Huh?
Uh-uh.
Didn't you, David?
Yeah, I did. I drank it because I thought it was healthy, but then I really got to look at it.
Uh-oh.
This dude just adding water to this milk. I'm tired of this. I water it down
but
myself.
But like there's like we just got bogged into the detail.
Yeah. Look at that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, in trying to be as optimal help that you can be, not getting distracted by the detail of it, and observing and going, okay, where else is this coming up? Because then, when you as the observer can identify the pattern, then you call the pattern out. Now you can actually could be helpful, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
It takes what I learned anyway is it takes away. It seems to take away from the emotional investment from the recovery. Because I'm not pointing out a particular behavior, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
a particular instance and a behavior. You may be overly invested in that one particular instance in your life. Now, I'm telling you, you're a procrastinator because of these five separate situations.
Yeah.
And in each of these situations, you have shown... I think I had a lisp there going on. I'm sorry.
No, I'm laughing because I'm just thinking, like, the people who sit with you, they're just, like, digging their own, like, grave in a sense of, like...
Yeah, you're just watching it. Well, you did it again.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you go, well, here's this pattern. You're like, well, how'd you get that?
Yeah.
Well, I've been listening for three sessions.
I've been observing you on a weekly basis.
I really don't. Like... I don't know. God has kind of gifted me with a couple of skills, right?
Amen.
I think it's because I've had a lot of sessions growing up my damn self, right?
Large Professor, who do you choose between Rakim and KRS-One?
Wow. 1-2-1-2-1-2. Check,
he chose
check.
KRS-One. That was wild to me. I thought
who did that? You said Large Professor?
Yeah.
No, wait. He chose who?
KRS-One.
Hell yeah.
I know you was the Bronx. I knew you was going to say that
Hell
shit.
Hell yeah.
Now, but he's from Queens.
Let us not get it twisted.
Rakim is from Long Island. Large Professor.
No, no. Rakim is from...
Long Island.
Nah. Rakim from Brooklyn. Fort Greene. Facts. Don't do it.
Well, you have to look that up.
Don't do it. Wow.
Because look, he's from Long Island.
We live?
Island.
Are we
he's
live?
He's from one end of Long Island.
We're not live, right?
We're live.
We're not live. You didn't just test...
He was
the
raised
Bronx
in Long Island.
Born in 1972.
We'll
like, I grew up,
up
around Afrika Bambaataa, KRS-One. Like, I'm dead
that's the Bronx,
serious,
though.
Bruh.
That's the Bronx.
So
that's
why wouldn't I know? Why
that.
Wouldn't I know where Rakim is from?
It was in a different borough. It was a different borough.
Listen.
No, literally, we're there. Listen, this is not a diss. Dope. Tell me the story. Tell me the story.
To let the mic swing.
Dude, can we look it up? Rakim is from Long Island.
Are you serious right now?
1-2-1-2
Let's get back on the show. Let's get back
on
the show.
Don't do that.
Am I good?
You're going to be owing me meals.
Okay.
You're going to have to ship meals to me, man.
All right, let's move on.
Let's do that.
Sorry about that. I thought we was interluding because, you know, the mic thing.
That's B-roll right there. Don't worry about that.
Okay, so I feel like this is a little 2.0 stuff, but I think we're hanging out. We're talking. Yeah. So this idea that the ego rebuilds itself. Have you guys familiar with that? Heard that?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, like David and I were talking, like when I first got sober, I became like Mr. Recovery.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, same thing happened to me when I first met Jesus. I was Bible thumping.
Oh, you was out there. Like you was out there, right? On the streets, right?
Do we have any videos of that?
No.
Not?
We don't.
Okay.
We don't. I'm sure my dad has some scars, though, because I'd be, you know, the worst. So I was taking these very spiritual experiences and then rebuilding my ego around it, right? Mm-hmm. Personifying this whole thing. And the same thing happened with me in recovery when I got sober. It was like, Mr. Everything was about recovery, you know? And so the other thing with
May I ask? Are you using ego for personality? Is that interchangeable in our conversation right now, perhaps?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well,
I think that any time that we rebuild an ego around anything, what we've actually done is that we've taken something that was good, inverted it again, and now what we've put is our personality.
Now it's ours, yeah. Now, this is me.
And reshaped it and normally
give him a mic.
Right.
Are we not picking that up?
Then all of a sudden, I made
that. I love that. Thank you, brother.
I made it.
That makes sense. Now you get that.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it's kind of like we kind of go through experiences, or we may go through suffering, or the fire of suffering, which I like how you said that. And we kind of come to these epiphanies or clarities, and then inevitably the ego rebuilds itself around that thing.
Okay.
So how do we, the question is, if that is true,
mm-hmm.
in what ways can one stay mindful of a destructive ego being created?
What little bit that I am learning about ego, I am learning from Eckhart Tolle. Definitely want to shout out Lucy Bowen for allowing me to borrow her book, The Power of Now. And I'm learning a lot about ego, you know, through his teachings. Really don't think that I know enough to speak about it from mm-hmm. that perspective, you know. I know enough not to speak on stuff that I'm not confident speaking on, you know. We can, I'm not saying I don't want to converse.
Yeah. Right?
You know, we can unfold through discovery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. For sure. But I'm not like, hey, I'm definitely confident about the subject matter.
Yeah. It's kind of like... I think another way to put it is like, let's say you go through substance use and you get through that, and you've had an extended period of time where that's no longer your first reaction. Is not, well, let me get high.
Okay.
But one may become, new patterns may emerge that maybe aren't as destructive, but are nonetheless destructive and are not congruent with the person.
Man, you spoke to my heart when you broke it down like that. Communication's everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going through that. I think I'm always go through that.
Yeah.
I like going through that. Mm. It's kind of interesting because I had a conversation earlier with someone, and let me know if this relates. If I'm off, I'm off, right? Mm. But I was telling them, I was like, you know, there for me, I believe there's always going to be, speaking of goals, let's say I have 5 goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're always going to be, I think it's always going to look like this for me. I'm killing a certain amount of goals,
mm-hmm.
a certain amount of goals I'm kind of procrastinating on,
mm-hmm.
right? And other goals, I'm like, we're tabling that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shuffle and rotate. You know what I mean? And the ones that I'm killing, obviously, you know, they serve their purpose. And I think like my attention, I think the things that I need to do kind of play like musical chairs with my attention. Is that kind of relating to what we're talking about?
I think so. Yeah.
I believe so.
When I listen to what you're saying, what comes to mind, just because you preface it on like, you know, your past, right? So, you know, a lot of times we see people with this energy, are fire, right? And it's like, I think it starts off when it comes to your spirituality, or you know, your recovery life, or you know, just learning in general, like you know, just obtaining knowledge, right? When you first get these things, there is something that is like life-changing in a positive way that you've figured out or you're figuring out, and it makes you feel really good. Mm-hmm. So now you got this knowledge or something and it's working in your life, so now you're ready to like scream it from the top of the hills. And I think in the rooms they call it like pink clouding in a way.
Mm, okay,
you dig what I'm saying? And it kind of like puts you, you know, you're flying high. Mm-hmm. Right now, before, my knee-jerk reaction to see somebody like that, I'd go to somebody that I know that had some time, and I go, wait till life hits him in the face. Life's gonna just sock him right, you know, blindside him. You know what I mean? Like that used to be my thing.
Going up to a newcomer saying, "Don't worry, yeah, it's gonna start sucking real soon."
You know, and it's still, you know, you do that. I mean,
you were the guy that purposely went around demystifying everyone, like, "Snap out of it, stupid."
There's no way you can be this happy.
No way.
But now,
what are you taking?
You know, and that really, if it feeds something, and it could easily turn into something that would like, you know, you get that. This starts out very good, okay?
Right, but like Paul said, that once you kind of invert that and mm-hmm. you build your ego on that, right? That I think a good example is what you just did. You're reading this book about the ego. It's here, and you know that. You know it hasn't sunk here yet. Mm-mm. So you're like, I'm not really going to speak on it like it's sunk here.
Yeah, that was real deal. I love that.
The young kids call that capping now. They call that capping. Notice I have no caps on. You guys do, though. Just saying.
That's probably telling you something. It's a telltale sign.
Rob Bell has this thing called Say Something, and it's like a 10-hour series. Rob Bell. He used to be a pastor of a big mega church.
Okay.
And it's 10 hours on communication and the art of communication. Audiobook series. Okay. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things he talks about. It's like when we read things in books and we go, oh, we're so excited. And then you go and teach on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone asks you a question and you go, I don't know. Because it hasn't sunk. You haven't lived it.
But you got that energy, though.
Yeah.
But you want to tell them the whole book, but you read 3 pages. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you got the energy, and it's good, and you want to let the world know, but it's not quite that time yet. So you know,
that would be one way of acknowledging this and being mindful of it, right? It's going, letting things simmer.
I'd love to bounce on that.
Real quick, though, but to see, and this is where it goes bad, though. Like, I have nothing against that energy. I'm cool with that energy, right? But whenever this is how it goes, oh man, that chair freaking hit me right here, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That was deep. Mm-hmm. And you go, for real? Then you drive all the way home. Damn, wait till tomorrow. I'm gonna have a chair. My name is Dave. What are we talking about? Oh yeah, check this out.
I've never had that thought in my life.
You're looking, huh? Were you there? Yeah? Huh? Then your ego is starting to really get the best of you. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't hear the topic, but I'd like to share.
Let me say, but I will tell you this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'm not sure what the topic is, but I think it's about this, so let me go ahead and.
And if you're not pushing the accent, an octave has definitely increased or decreased in some kind of way.
Yeah.
Ego is a heck of a thing, though. It's so interesting that I could barely relate to that myself. But oh my God! Someone tells me about my ego literally almost every day,
mm-hmm.
and I love it.
That's cool, man. You got some people.
I am checking myself.
Somebody is like, you know, loving you.
Like, look,
somebody's loving you, bro.
Did tell me to be humble recently. I didn't like that.
I want to say that there's certain attributes of people's personality. This is who they are. They are going to be who they are.
Right.
And so you don't want to kill someone's spirit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm cool with that.
Let me shine.
I'm cool with the fire.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm cool with the fire.
Let me shine. If this hits you, whoever's listening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me shine. Let me just be me.
But whenever the dust settles, right? You're gonna have a conversation. There's some sort of reflection going on.
Absolutely.
Especially if you have a position in service, particularly because there is a lot of service where people are depending on you, where your words are important, where you actually have an occupation of helping somebody that's like in a situation that you've been through. Mm-hmm. So in that conversation, and if that's the position that you're playing, right, there is wisdom and knowledge being thrown back and forth, and it's easy for your ego to build up through that.
Wait till tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, what time's he coming in next? Oh, next Friday.
Yeah.
I'm wearing the fancy
light his
shirt
ass all the way up.
Ooh.
No, but seriously, like,
you know, I gotta come.
It happens
good.
Like that.
And we went to we did filmed Raleigh World a mm-hmm. couple weeks ago, and we were up in Pigeon Forge, and we went to a little meeting back in the back streets, literally the last little house on the block. A bunch of old timers. I'm not saying they had a lot of time, but they were old, and they were. It was on the 11th step, prayer meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, I got teary-eyed in that meeting because nobody said they figured it out. Mm. Everybody said, I don't do this all the time. I don't do this right. I get good stuff when I do it, but I don't always do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the realness and the rawness, I was like, this is why I come to a meeting like this. When I go in and everyone's got the freaking answer, bro.
Yeah.
It don't work for me.
Yeah.
I learn when somebody expresses their vulnerability and that they don't get it right, immediately that person has a little more leverage with me, and I feel like I can ask, you know, what can we do better, right?
I think when that's done, we see more of ourselves in that person. And it makes it so much it just makes it easier, you know, for the scope to widen.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I'm really comfortable in this setting right here because of the way this discussion is platformed. Because it's an interaction where we're all face to face. You know, nobody's up here talking down to nobody here. And like questions are being asked.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't ask questions. You're gonna really have to question. No pun intended.
But I think that's
what's going on with you. You're you're the talker at now, and everybody's. There's no interaction, man. You're just getting a one-sided view.
Yeah. I don't like
of
that.
Everything.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I don't.
Why?
I don't. I don't like didactic environments. I like collaborative and conversational environments.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Difference. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't like, you know, like some people, you know, like I do, I love process groups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because process groups.
On that.
That's my thing. Like I love, you know, I'm cool with, I just don't have the talent for like experiential stuff and all that kind of, that's not my lane. But I have a passion and a love for process because it starts with a question. And by the time it goes all the way around, you know what I'm saying? If it works out right, everybody's talking and interacting and everybody's like learning your opinion of things. And then if it's like, you know, and then if there's generations in there, some older people, some younger people, just imagine like the possibilities of the back and forth in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like you're getting a great perspective. Yeah. That's like, to me, that's quality. That's a quality time to spend in an hour. Like a lot of times, like, and I know like if there's one thing about the rooms, you know, that like, there's a couple things about the rooms. Okay. But I love, it's changed my life. But
facts.
One of the things is, you know, everybody has this moment to talk and I know it's because of the structure, there's really no response. In fact, you're not supposed to respond. You just elaborate your opinion on that same topic. You
not the crosstalk, but
yeah, not trying to crosstalk, but hey, where are you from again? You know that? Oh, whoa, like, you know what I mean? So, and I understand that, like, and I know it serves a great purpose. Shelf discussions going that way, but for me personally, my favorite part
is that
is
back and forth.
This right here.
Let's chop it up, baby.
This is right here.
Yeah. Let's just, you know, chop it up.
And if we're, and if you're passionate and caring, and you want to change, and you're able to listen and be honest and vulnerable through all that, now,
yeah,
we're doing something. Something's happening.
Bro. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think one thing for me would be to always be learning, right? Just always know that you're learning.
Yeah.
We're always learning.
That excites me.
Yeah. And ask questions. I think that's the thing. Like,
yeah,
when people are around me and I notice, they don't ask any questions. And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because you can find out so much more when you ask questions, right? You can really find out, like, what might actually be helpful in the situation when you ask. Because what we might think is the problem is what you said, right? This is your felt issue. Mm. This is the thing you feel like you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get that unless you ask, what's coming up for you today? What do you want to work on? What do you want to change? Where are you at? What you have to open that up for that person to say, this is what I want to change.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be like, well, that's not, you don't really need to change that. What you really need, like, help people get to where they want to get.
Not where you think they should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's hard.
Absolutely love that. I think it's hard, right? I think it's hard depending on the personality, right? I think it's hard depending on where the person is in their personal journey,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think it's hard depending on the capacity in which you have to serve.
Yeah.
You know? I'm big on staying in my lane. You know, I'm big on, you know, let's chop it up. You tell me how you think I can help you. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, my place to tell you this is what I think you should do.
Yeah.
I think it's my place to hear what you have to say, be able to process that through a filter based on the resources at my disposal that I think will be able to serve you best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. My favorite coaching question is, what else?
Mm.
That is like the best question. That will reveal so much. You just keep, what else?
Who'd you take that from?
Gary Coach V? Training. I think it might be Rich Litvin.
Mm, definitely.
But I did I did coach
interfaith
training.
Life coach
yeah. training. And that was
life
one of the questions was, that's a powerful question.
Yeah.
People say, and then you go, what else?
Yeah, I love that. I'm taking that.
And then sit.
Yeah.
Don't say nothing.
Laying that awkward silence a little
bit. Oh, that's the other powerful thing. Silence. When you're in that one-on-one, like,
yeah,
you kind of see, like, the ego or whatever it is, you know, personality. Yeah.
Help me see that. Help me see that. Could you, I don't know, act it out on David, maybe? Let me see. I like
okay.
to.
Yeah. Role play.
All right, David, so what was the toughest part of your day today?
Getting home in time after work to get here and time it to worry about the quality of the food and what it was going to taste like and getting it done on time. That was the toughest part of my day.
What else about that was hard?
Awkward silence.
This guy's a genius. I'm taking it, man. I'm taking it.
What else was hard? What's so hard about getting home and cooking food?
Well, getting there because, so this is great. I love this, right? Because when I got home, I already have the pressure of, like, I am zoned in on what I have to do to get to the next step. So I'm in that lane and I'm walking into a family. You see what I'm saying? Things are happening around me. But today I got to start off, no, I was the only one home, but there's a lot of stuff around it. And then the family comes home and it's an awkward, if I'm in the zone, right? People want to, like, hey, and I'm like, hey, and then I go back to what I'm doing. And then it starts digging in my head a little bit, like, oh shit, I mean, hold up. Hey, you know, babe, what you doing? You come over here. What you do today? You know what I mean? I talked to my wife. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then like, and the funny thing is in my head, if she's busy, then at that time it feels good. Oh, you're doing your thing? Okay, let me do my thing. But then like coming here, when I was leaving to come here and driving, I was like, damn, dude, like, you know, we didn't even talk. You know what I mean? Like, so that's other things that run through my head as like, you know, for the day. That's
so tough. What'd you do when you realized you guys hadn't talked?
I was already on my way here. I didn't call or anything. I'm still in the midst of that at this moment, you know. So hopefully going back, you know, a lot of our days are like that, but she usually initiates a time to like really catch me up on stuff, and I respond. At least sometimes I try to respond appropriately.
Yeah.
But that's a thing. You know, that's a thing for us right now. You know what I mean? Me making that a priority, why I already got a priority.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, damn.
Yeah.
So then I got to like shake off like the guilt and like shut down, you know, get it right. When I go home, it's going to be later. And I got to get right tonight's movie night.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? And I had the responsibility of picking a movie, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, that's a big responsibility.
You have the opportunity. Well,
I'm the best.
That's a big responsibility.
I'm the best at it, like, without a doubt.
And
for
what
the
else?
Family, I'll pick them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about that a little bit. This is a whole thing, right? I'm with it. I'm down. I'm with it. She asked me, hey, what time are you going to be back? I was like, I don't really know, probably late. You know what I mean? She's like, do you want us to start without you? She was offering, because it's summertime now, she was offering to say, I said, no, you guys go ahead, do your thing, and I'll just ease up in there. You know what I mean? Which that's my comfort. Mm. Uncomfortable is get there on time and like.
Everyone's waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's uncomfortable, dude.
You got shot as soon as you get
but
there.
But if I can just slide in on the couch, say some funny things. You know what I mean? And be a part of that way. And I get accepted that way. I'm like, whew, all right, I'm good.
So your last what else reveals more.
Yes, it does. Yeah. I absolutely appreciate that.
Where we're not even at, what was the toughest part of your day anymore? Now you got to really know my whole day.
Yeah. Two more what else, and
two
he's
more
crying.
What else, I'm like bawling.
Yes.
we got any tissue in the studio?
That's really good. No, it's really good. I love
that. I love that.
That's a great. That's great stuff.
Let's wrap it up with this question. Because you have a book,
ooh.
What's the correct title of your book?
Let's plug
that. Oh, my goodness.
Sober Slogans.
Sober Slogans is the brand. The title of the book is Recovery Models We Love.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite recovery slogan or motto?
Motto, slogan? Okay. That's kind of easy for me. Recovery is a journey, not a destination. I absolutely love that. And when I wrote that chapter, I had no idea that it would continue to be my favorite slogan. Mm. And the reason why is because I'm just in love with the journey that I'm on. You know, I just think it's a beautiful thing when we decide to believe in ourselves. I think it's an absolute beautiful thing when we say, you know what? I'm gonna stop seeing it in my head, whatever that it may be. I'm gonna stop seeing it in my head, and I'm gonna walk through the process of proving that I am worthy to claim it in 3D reality. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm not going to chase dreams anymore. I'm going to manifest them. Because if I'm chasing it, that means it's not within my grasp. Right? So I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to hunker down. I'm going to learn what self-belief is. I'm going to ride that wave.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my perspective. You know, life is beautiful right now. It's a ride, you know. It's definitely a ride right now.
I do got to say this, man, because we've been rocking out for a little bit and I've been watching you, you know, I guess we all kind of watch each other from afar because of our lives and our, you know, everything that goes on.
I live vicariously through your meals. You're right.
But seeing where you're at right now and like your constant push of positivity, you know, every morning, yo, it's a beautiful day. Like that means something to me.
Thank you, bro.
So like I really get a good vibe and message from you. And when I get the opportunity to like see what you're pushing, you know what I'm saying? And then watching you facilitate, it's really impressive to see. And it's like, damn, that boy messed around. Because, you know, I remember when we first met, I don't even want to say it, okay, we was talking some stuff, you know what I mean? But that was then. And now, but it, like I felt like it was, you always, you know, you was moving in a direction, and I feel like you are really in your lane right now. And it's really impressive to see.
Thank you.
So, you know, that's real.
And, you know, you had to go through the fire.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
They don't know.
I mean, you would never wish that. Know. You would never expect that or ask that that would be the path to get to the place where you are now.
Well, what if somebody took all the suffering away?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. What if I had a sugar mama? I mean, what if somebody came and
right. took what if the suffering let away? You have that. Yeah. You ain't here.
I wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't even be here right now.
It has to happen exactly the way it
happened. I absolutely love it. You know, being able to reflect upon that, you know, in the now lets me know that it's going to happen again, right? And if I am truly, truly grateful for all of the storms that I had to go through to get here, right? And I mean it, then I should be on point for the ones in front of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the interns that I have right now, just shouting them out real quick. I love all seven of them, but I have three who are, they're 20-something year olds, right? And, you know, that's where my heart is, right? Being honest. If I ever had an opportunity to just focus on a particular demographic, you know, to try to assist them with their empowerment, it would be, you know, between like 14, 24, 14, 25, you know what I mean? So me having these three young brothers in a class right now, it's godsend, you know, it's godsend, because it is about learning what self-belief is.
Yeah.
I just think that if we can get that part down, we will be on our own individual path of destiny. You know, right. Like really getting the self-belief down as a foundation to open up for opportunities that God has in store for us based on the talents, gifts, and circumstances that we're faced with. But if I don't have an insane, delusional amount of self-belief, nah, I ain't gonna manifest greatness. So I choose to be the one who has the insane delusional amount of self-belief and recovery, you know? And if it looks like this dude is bugged out or his ego is crazy, that's okay. You know what I mean? My thing is just to help the newcomers within the community. That's it. That's my focus. Yeah. Everybody got their slice, right? That's my slice, you know? Because I still choose to feel what it feels like to be a newcomer. You know what I mean? So I'm always tapped in. I ain't never going to be the OG that's looking at a newcomer like, but what do you mean? Never. Never. Not me.
Yeah.
Like I would, like whenever I see somebody, I go, 30 days.
I was just,
I don't do that, but I did.
I literally just told Chad, I don't think I'm suited for newcomers anymore.
Nah.
I literally just told
my people's
Chad,
right there. I got said, that. Run them to me.
I don't think I'm suited for newcomers.
Run them to me.
I am not doing a good job. I ain't got no patience for none
See,
of this.
See, that's the thing. It's like, I was just having a conversation with someone earlier in regards to, I don't know. I think you're half joking, okay? I'm saying that you're half joking. I'm going to assume you're half joking.
I think I am half joking, okay. But I think that...
But the frustration is real.
What you're saying, right? The belief in self, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's taking me a long time. It's taking me a really long time to believe in myself. And now I'm starting to go, so what, I'm hard to get a hold of? So what, you got to track me down? If you want what I got... Mm. and I kind of got.
Yeah, got the sauce. Kind of
dope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
I got the sauce.
Then come on.
Yeah.
And if you're really serious, you'll get it. But I'm not going to, I can't do these sometimey, halfway. I can't do it no more. I'm busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? What's that thing? I'm doing a great work. I cannot be disturbed. Nehemiah, he's building that wall. Mm-hmm. And they keep trying to get him to come down.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I'm doing something.
Yeah.
You guys got to figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm building this wall.
Oh, my goodness. Facts.
You want to come up here?
I love it.
We'll chop it up. So maybe I'm even better suited for a newcomer now than I've ever been.
I mean.
And maybe I just haven't crossed paths with the right one yet.
Ah.
You know?
Or you're,
maybe you need
suited,
to.
You're suited for a newcomer that's going to follow you and be up under you and be that person for you. You ain't got, and that, I don't think there's anything wrong with that statement.
But most newcomers don't fall in that category.
Right. So if you, but that guy that's really willing and wants and open-minded and really is like looking at his life in that way, and he just started recovery and he really wants to change his life and he'll do whatever it takes to do it, that's your dude. You can do something with
I'm
that.
Just saying, you can't, you hang out. Just come here and hang out every day.
Yeah.
You're going to, something's going
to. Show up. Yeah.
Show up.
Word up.
Yeah.
I do get it.
All right. This has been a great Most High Bros episode. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us today.
Love y'all, man.
Always bringing that. Always bringing the noise.
If someone's interested in getting the book, where do they get the book?
Well, I'm getting ready to drop the second one, so they got to chill on that first one. We have some legal matters dealing with the first one.
Okay.
All right, but the second one going to drop before, I'm saying it, I'm putting it out there, before my 4 years, which is August 14th.
Okay.
All right? So before my 4 years, the second book, which is a workbook, which is going to be heavily marketed to treatment facilities and things of that nature, specifically for the newcomers in recovery.
What you doing? You taking a selfie?
No. Rakim is the nephew of late R&B singer and actress Ruth Brown. He grew up in Wyandak, New York, on Long Island.
You know what? I don't have the same resource that you do, right? I don't have the same resource that you do, but you see how he wanted to end that? You see how he did me? You see how he did me? Are we still live? You see how he did me?
I wish we could get the clearance to play Rakim, Who Is God. Have you ever heard of that song?
Say it again.
Who Is God by Rakim?
Yeah, of course. Oh, I definitely heard that song.
Man,
nothing like that. Nothing.
All right. When Rakim, I'll say this again. When Rakim came on the scene, okay, as Rakim, the God MC, all right, the man was living in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Thank you.
I believe you.
Thank you.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Okay.
This has been another epic episode of the Most High Show. Thank you to the donors, supporters who make this possible. Thank you for listening. And I want you to know, reach out for help because you are worth the effort and it's possible. Peace.
Believe in yourself.
Oh, that was so good, bro.
Man.
Good stuff.
I love you.
What a way to smash that ego, David.